Manna Bible Study. We are here tonight and we are waiting for YOU. Come on in here for Bible study.
We do praise God for each of you today, and truly this is indeed the day the Lord has made. So we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. We hope that you have had a great day. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is coming in good. We are grateful for God sustaining us in this day, and we thank God for how he continues to look beyond our faults and get right to our needs. And we know that we serve a prayer answering God, and he's just a prayer away. Are we getting a good signal there, Lady Kim?
Looks like it. I got it on my phone, but I do not have it on my iPad, so I might have to switch networks here.
Okay. But we're certainly grateful for how God has blessed that ATOP. Yesterday was a fantastic day in the Lord, and we had an exciting time. And we're trying to work through some technical difficulties. And I believe Lady Kim is getting everything connected there. But let us know you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is coming in good for you as we prepare for tonight. We will be in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and there are about 22 verses there, Lady Kim. And so we're excited about this chapter. This is a familiar chapter, and there are some verses in there that will really give us a hint of what God is yet doing, what he did then and what he's doing now. And so somebody said we got a clear signal. Let us know the signal is coming in clear. Good to see those of you who are already on. Somebody give us a thumbs up to say that you're getting a good signal and that you can hear us. All right.
Lima Charlie, Al Blanks.
That's where those old, where was it? What did they call it when they used to? CB player? CB?
Citizens Band, CB.
Yeah.
When you're on the trucker talk.
That's right. He gave us one of those, what is it? Lima Charlie?
Yeah.
Oh, it's clear. All right. Well, thank each of you. Let's go ahead and get started tonight. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. There are 22 verses there, and I believe we'll be able to cover that tonight. What do you think?
I think so.
Okay. Well, let's have a prayer, and then we're going to just talk a little bit about what happened on yesterday, and then we'll jump into our study for tonight. God, we honor you, we bless you, and we yet give you praise. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for allowing us another opportunity to gather around your word. For your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We pray now, dear Lord, that even as we have gathered tonight, that our faith might increase based upon your word. You said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we love you tonight. We honor you. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for your keeping power. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. And so now, God, even as we prepare for this time together, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Lady Kim, tell us a little bit about what you heard the Lord say in the worship experience on yesterday.
Well, I might need your help too, but
all right.
Yesterday was an awesome time in the Lord, of course, again. And we continued with the sermon series, Win the Day.
Mm-hmm.
Win the Day. And your topic was, I'm in the fight of my life. My plan is to win the day.
Okay.
And, you know, the passage of scripture that you talked about was from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 17. And for Bible study people and for Bible readers, that's a familiar passage of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But because it talks about how we should put on the whole armor of God.
That's right.
And this passage of scripture explains exactly what that armor of God is and why we need to put it on and gird ourselves up. Not just sometimes, but every day.
Okay.
You know, it says put on the whole armor. First of all, it says because we don't put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood,
mm-hmm.
but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod with your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which with you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay. So, you know, we have to have a strategy in order to defeat the enemy.
That's right.
And one of the things is we have to be dressed right.
Okay.
You know, and this particular scripture gives us a vivid picture of how we should be dressed.
Okay.
And it talks about how we should be dressed from head to toe.
That's good.
What we should put on from the head to the toes in order to protect us from the wiles of the enemy. And you had a couple of good 3 points. We have to have a strategy to win. We have to have knowledge of the opposition. Mm-hmm. And we have to have some needed resources.
Okay, needed resources.
Right.
And I think all of that is clear and evident in this passage. And I think that 10th verse really kind of starts it out in the right way, because it talks about being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we try to go into the various fights that we find ourselves in. We try to do it in and of our own mm-hmm. selves and in our own strength. But the word reminds us that it's not by power, nor is it by might, but it's by my spirit, said the Lord, that I'll bring it to pass. And one of the things I was really trying to emphasize yesterday, Lady Kim, is that most people don't understand and realize that they're in a spiritual fight,
spiritual
mm-hmm. warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to do it in and of ourselves mm-hmm. and fail to utilize what God has already put in place for us to be victorious.
Mm-hmm.
And that title really just kind of struck a nerve, because a whole lot of people, if we be honest, we'll find that we're in the fight of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it can vary from a sickness or illness, or it could be something financial, or it could be a relationship. People struggling, they're trying to make sense of it all, but they get absorbed by that and never fully understand how they can overcome and be victorious.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things you said is what causes a lot of us pain is that we don't believe that God can do what he said he
can
do.
That's right. That's right.
You know, that means that we have a lack of faith
mm-hmm.
that God can bring us out of any situation. But, you know, we have to be ready to fight the fight, too.
That's right.
You know, some of us don't want to fight back.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
And we have to learn how to fight back. But when we fight back, we have to be able to fight back in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You said we have to know our enemy.
Right.
Who are in?
Right,
you gave a funny story yesterday. Man, and I said, I've been married to you. How long?
Almost
been knowing
50,
you almost 50 years.
You never heard that story.
You ain't never told me Alfred knocked you over the head.
I know, right? Alfred Williams, I tell you, I'm going to have to find out where he is, because I hadn't seen him since that happened. And I'm going to have to check with my other friend, Alfred, to find out exactly where Alfred Williams is. But he used to come to Birmingham from down in the country, as I said. And he would be visiting his aunt, Miss Gunn, who was right across the street. And so we were out there. I got the boxing gloves, you know, for Christmas or whenever it was. And we were out there boxing. And I called myself being the undefeated champion. And I was beating everybody, and I was beating Alfred Bonner up most of the time. But I was very selective in the people I chose to fight against.
So they would knock you
That's
over
right.
the bushes.
That's right. But we had these hedges that divided our property and Miss Howard's property, which was right next door. And we were out there going at it. And sure enough, I put my gloves on. I did my little dance, and like I was ready. Alfred Williams hit me one time, and he knocked me over the bushes, over the hedges. And I got up. I was so mad and frustrated. And so when you're mad and trying to fight, you lose a sense of connection.
Well, you lose sight of the opponent.
That's
really.
Right.
You lose all strategy. Your strategy goes out of the window because you're frustrated. You're thrown off track.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what actually happened. And, you know, I'll never forget that. And so I don't think I fully recovered from that, but
I managed to move. Like
I managed to move on.
It doesn't sound like you recover, but the whole point is that, first of all, we have to know the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't your enemy, so to speak, but we have to know
the strategy
of the opponent, you know.
Right.
And he had probably seen you out the window, and he was checking you out and how you were, you know,
dancing and moving and boxing. Right.
And so he knew exactly where your weak point was.
Okay.
So when he got out there, he put his gloves on, and as soon as you moved to the left, boom, he moved to the left too and knocked you over the finisher. So he knew exactly where you were going.
Yeah.
So the point is that the enemy knows our weaknesses.
Okay, okay.
And he aims right for those weaknesses.
That's right. And the other part, Lady Kim, I think we'll see coming out in that passage, and we try to make it live for us, is we have to know our opponent, because many times we want to fight in a flesh and blood kind of fight. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in pulling down of the strongholds. And Paul makes it clear here in the text that we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people, they take on the posture of trying to fight another person, when the fight is against the spirit that possesses that person.
Amen.
Yes.
And so one of the questions raised was, what's your attitude when you face adversity, and how do you react?
Okay.
You know, what's your attitude? Your attitude, is it one to win in the end, or is it just one to win for that particular moment?
Okay.
You know, because the enemy doesn't go away.
That's right.
It continues to come back time and time again. So we have to have a strategy to knock him over the hedges and knock him out so he won't come back anymore, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so it's important that we understand that, you know, just like when the professional teams, they prepare for their opponent, they study all of the strengths and the weaknesses so that they can better, you know, have an offense to handle whoever it is they're up against. And so many times we don't, and, you know, we were in one church and we preaching on demons and talking about the devil. And you remember the lady when she said she didn't believe in devils or demons. And so it's a demonic force that's going throughout our land and country, is circling here and there, and it's moving about. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so if we don't understand that the enemy is there and he's aggressive and he's actively in pursuit of trying to take everything away from us in terms of what God has already given, then we'll take on the posture of trying to do it within our own selves.
Right.
And not to rely upon a spiritual means in order to overcome the spiritual warfare that we're in. And so it's important that you recognize and understand that. And even though you might be in a fight of your life, I don't know your situation or your circumstance tonight, and many people perhaps are yet going through some struggles, some trials, and some tribulations. James puts it this way. He says, count it all joy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? He says,
count it joy when you go
going through trials and tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is what worketh patience, and let patience have a perfect work, that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And I indicated, and I say it oftentimes, a faith that's not tested is one that can't be trusted. And what does that mean, Pastor? Well, if you haven't gone through anything, if you haven't allowed God to place you in a position of you making some decisions by faith, then you'll never know what God can do, because many times we revert back to our natural ways and won't trust God. But God will step in even in the ninth hour, and he will answer your prayer. Mm-hmm. And as we always say, he may not come when you want him to, mm-hmm. but I believe we have some witnesses. I feel something in my throat right Lord. There. He's always right on time.
Please don't.
Come on, somebody help me tonight.
He's on time.
Y'all want me to Amen. Sing that or not?
No, we don't want you to sing it.
Let me get about six thumbs up.
And don't
I'll,
do it.
I'll go ahead and try.
No thumbs up, please.
He is indeed an on-time God. He may not come when you want him to.
Yeah, but he's always on
why
time.
Why are you stopping me? I felt something in my throat.
All right. Way. I think we got to get to Second Chronicles.
Okay.
All right.
But what else happened this past weekend? Because we had some other things going on as well on Thursday
mm-hmm. night. We had an awesome time at Main Event
right.
for our family fun night. We had about 55 people who came out and... we had bowling mm-hmm. and pool and shuffleboard mm-hmm. and laser tag and walking, whatever those ropes were they were walking on. I wasn't getting up there, but anyway, and all the games, the video games.
Yeah.
And we had a great time with the ATOP family. So we thank all those who came out, and we really thank those who were not able to make it, but they gave donations for others to go.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And so we had an awesome time. And so we thank everyone who participated, as well as...
you can't ignore those comments now, Lady Kim. You see the people want me to sing.
Only one person. One person. Sister Anita,
she, that's
don't
the,
do that. Nah, okay?
Somebody else, come on. Let no, Lady Kim know.
I'm hiding the comments. Thank you all for coming to Family Fun Night. We had a blast. And the other thing is that the fourth Sunday, we always go out for our feeding program.
That's right. That's right.
And it was a marvelous turnout. We had a marvelous time delivering food to our neighbors who are in need. And so thank you to all of those who went and ministered to those in need on yesterday.
Right, right. So we found out about Constance Abbey as well, that they're getting ready to shut their doors this Friday. And so our prayers, of course, are with them. The founder, he passed away, and his wife, I believe, remained in
California.
And it was just too much for the people that were trying to step in between that to... you see all those comments now. You can't
you
ignore
focus
that.
Focus on Constance
Abbey. All right. I don't want to lose my point. But the people want me to sing, brother. But,
okay, you can sing,
that's all right.
And I'm out, okay? I'm going this way.
Oh, but we want to continue to keep them in our prayers. And they're having a big closing, I guess, service on Friday. Brother Whitmore told me, and so we're looking forward to seeing how we can assist and help them in, wherever they decide to go. But that's going to be a tremendous vacuum, a tremendous loss in that area, mm-hmm. because the need is so great.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. The need is great. Constance Abbey was a great ministry to the downtown area of Memphis. They provided meals and
shelter,
showers,
breakfast.
Clothes,
mm-hmm.
But most of all, and counseling, most
counseling,
of all,
that's
they
right.
Gave the people a word from the Lord.
That's right.
And so it's going to be a tremendous loss to the Memphis community to lose Constance Abbey. Mr. Roger Wolcott and his wife, Marjorie, Mr. Roger, passed away, I believe, in December mm-hmm. of last year, and his wife remained in California and with family. And so we just pray for Constance Abbey, and we pray for the Memphis community, because it's going to be a tremendous loss to those who really need help.
That's right. And so we're going to continue to do what we can to help and assist with that homeless community in that area. And our prayers definitely go out to them as they transition out of that particular ministry that was they provided for the Memphis community.
Amen.
Yes, yes. Amen. So tonight we're in Second Chronicles, the 7th chapter. And many of you have already, no doubt, read this 7th chapter. There are some very powerful verses here that most of you are familiar with. But we want you to know that this is a continuation now of what has happened in terms of the dedication of the temple, mm-hmm. and how Solomon is trying to fulfill all of the obligations of his dad, David. And God is blessing him, and he's so honored him to continue the work that his father started. And they have completed the building of the temple.
Yes.
And this dedication, we see it as verses, you know, in chapters, but this was an extended period of time,
a long period of time.
That all of this took place. And so they took time out to really have a grand celebration and dedication. And what we'll find out even tonight is that they wanted to make sure that the part of their celebration would fall in line with one of the feasts that was occurring, the great feast of the Feast of the Tabernacles. Mm-hmm. That was all coinciding with what they were doing in terms of the dedication. And so Solomon used that as an opportunity as well to include that in terms of how they were dedicating this temple to God.
Amen. Amen. And like you stated before, there are several verses mm-hmm. in this particular chapter that many of us are well familiar with. And so when we get to that part, you all will know what that is.
Right.
All right. So you want me to read the first 11 verses? That's a good place to stop. One through, or how?
Yes, that's fine. That's fine. We're in the seventh chapter of Second Chronicles. There are 22 verses. And so we'll just read the first 11 verses for those of you just joining us, and praise God for each of you who are on tonight for Bible study. And we're going to see how far we get as we talk about those first 11 verses. Then you can pick it back up at verse 12.
All right. Second Chronicles 7, starting with verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Mm-hmm. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priests attended to their services. The Levites also with instruments of the music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, "For his mercy endures forever." Whenever David offered praises by their ministry, the priests sounded trumpets opposite them while all Israel stood. Furthermore, Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat. At that time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, and a very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day, they held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart, for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house.
Okay, okay. That's powerful. 11 verses there, isn't it, Lady Kim?
Yeah, and there was a lot in there, too. Maybe we should have stopped in between there because there was a lot there. But we can go back and kind of recap from there.
Right, because those first few verses where it talks about how the glory of the Lord filled the temple and how it was obvious that there was so much power and presence of God there that they were not able to really continue in what they were called to do for the worship experience.
Amen. Wouldn't that be awesome if the if when we have service on Sunday mornings that the glory of the Lord was so powerful that, you know, it would just be hard to stay in the place.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. That's how it was in with this worship service. You know, that the glory of the Lord came down because God was pleased with what was being done and what had been done.
And so, you know, it's amazing, and we often talk about how we need to be prayerful about what we are expecting God to do. And many times, if we are not on one accord and we're not touching and agreeing and praying for the same kind of experience. So I would hope and pray that those who are viewing tonight from ATOP, it's good to see my good friend and brother Dr. Holmes on in Denver, as well as our tallest, Timothy. Pastor Marquise McPherson. But it's my prayer that those who are members of ATOP, that we will constantly and fervently pray for the power and the presence of God to fill the house, to fill our temple, ATOP, Anointed Temple. And I believe if we can get enough intercessors and prayer warriors touching and agreeing and believing, then we can experience the same kind of worship that they experienced when the dedication of the temple took place here in this seventh chapter. The fire of the Lord came down.
Amen. And I think we can go one step farther and say,
okay,
if we allow the Spirit to fill us, then when we enter the temple, if everybody is filled with God's Spirit, when we enter the temple, we're all on one accord, God's house will be filled with his
That's
spirit.
That's good. That's
and
good.
The power of the Holy Ghost will come in a powerful way.
Okay, okay. Well, we need to get some confirmation from people who are agreeing with us that you're going to be filled with the Spirit as you enter. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Amen.
And that helps to produce God's presence in the house,
right?
Because you're bringing it with you.
Amen.
It's not like we're trying to manufacture something and trying to drum up the Holy Spirit right. once we get there.
Right. And you know, that's the problem with church these days. Okay. People come, they come to church wanting to be entertained.
Okay, okay.
They come to church wanting somebody to do something for them and make them feel good. When we ought to be
shout them happy.
Yeah, we ought to be bringing the Spirit of God into the house of worship with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not waiting for some external force to make us feel good internally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to have an internal spirit that when we get there, externally things will start to happen.
That's good, brother. You might need to write that down. You said a
mouthful. I know, right? Because when you got a short memory, you need a long pencil, right?
But no, the external and the internal.
Yes.
And many times we are looking for something externally when it should be something internally that produces what we're looking for.
Absolutely.
Did I say it right?
You said it absolutely right.
Somebody give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
I felt something on that. Yeah. I see the people agreeing. Come on, give God some thumbs up.
Yeah.
Bring the Spirit with me. That's what Dr. Butler is saying. That's what many are touching and agreeing and believing God.
You have to do something in order for that to happen, though.
That's right.
To be on your face. You have to be prayerful. You have to be intentional about bringing God into the worship space with you, bringing the Spirit of God. Because a lot of times, you know, we arguing in the car with our husband or wives, or with whipping the children on the way to school, on the way to church, and you know, by
is
the time
that why
we
don't ride together?
No, that's not.
All right, I'm just joking.
You leave too early for me.
I know. I have to be there early because I have to be settled and I have to be centered. So by the time the people do come, I don't want to be rushing or trying to, you know, do things at the last minute. That's just me. But that's not why we don't ride together.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't. you know, I'm not going to say what I'm going to say. We're going to keep sticking. We're going to move
You're
on.
You're so silly. Yes, let's move on.
All right.
Again, we need to bring the Spirit of God to the worship service with us. And then we don't need to be distracted we get to the worship service. Because a lot of times we're prayed up, mm-hmm. we're ready for worship, and then people knock on the office door and want to mm-hmm. have a meeting with you mm-hmm. when you're trying to get your mind, you know, keep your mind focused. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we're praying at church and people come up, you know, and want to hold a conversation.
Right, right.
You know, that kind of breaks that spiritual connection that you have.
Okay,
and we want to
okay.
continue to keep that spiritual connection that we have. And you should want to keep your spiritual connection.
Absolutely.
So when you come into the house of worship, it says enter into his gates with thanksgiving,
right.
and into his courts with praise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's how we need to come prayed up, entering in with thanksgiving and praise, and keeping that mentality,
mm-hmm.
and watch God show up
and bringing the Spirit with us.
Amen.
Not waiting for something to happen, right?
Right.
See what some of the comments are there, Lady.
Brother Martez says we have to be Spirit filled. Our top priority is not to only talk about the goodness of God, but our daily lives are for others to see examples in our Spirit-filled lives daily. That's good, Brother
that's
Martez.
Real good. Yeah.
Yes, that's good.
What did Sister Minister Olu say? What did she have to say?
You must be already in the Spirit before getting to the church.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr.
Yes.
Butler said, bring the Spirit with you. And so we have to stay connected, Minister Al. Thank you so much. And so it's important that if we expect to see the power and the presence of God, like we are reading here in this seventh chapter of Second Chronicles, then we have to participate and not just come with a spirit of something happening and we not being a part of trying to make that happen or bringing something with us when we come.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And it also talked about how they made sacrifices to the Lord.
Okay.
You know, before the Lord.
Okay.
And a sacrifice means that, you know, it's something that's over and beyond what you would regularly do. Now, King Solomon, he kind of went overboard,
right.
to me. I mean, man, he sacrificed 22,000 oxen. Can you imagine sacrificing 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep?
Isn't that something?
That's a lot of food.
That probably wasn't even all of what he had. That was just some of what he had.
Man, that was a lot.
That was a whole lot.
But the point is, we have to bring a sacrifice,
yeah.
you know, before the Lord.
And that's staggering, because really, we ought to, we should not be so much concerned about what other people are bringing.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Right.
But we should be doing the best with what God has blessed us mm-hmm. with. And it's not about equal giving, but equal sacrifice.
Amen.
So everybody can't bring what Solomon brought, but mm-hmm. you can bring your best.
That's
you
right.
can do the best. Give of your best to the master. And how does that sound? Give of your best, of your give of your service, or something like that? The best of your service? All right.
I see
what that's all about.
I don't know.
But no, we need to be positive in terms of what we bring, and God blesses each of us differently. And so I can't be looking at what somebody else is doing, but I've got to concentrate and focus in on what God has blessed me with.
Amen.
And you know, it's so true that you can't be God's giving no matter how hard you try. The more you give, the more he'll give to you. And I know your birthday is already passed and you're going into another year of celebration, but you received a special gift on yesterday.
I did, yes.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
And
yes.
I think you made a statement to me that you can't lose for winning.
I can't lose for winning. You
yeah.
know, people say I can't win for losing.
Right.
I can't lose for winning.
Wow.
Every time I turn around, God keeps blessing me. I keep winning. I'm still in the winning mode. So no matter what happens to me, something else comes along that blesses my socks
mm-hmm.
off. So I can't lose because I keep on winning. I can't lose for winning. I'm going to win the day.
All right now.
Yes.
You sound like you're ready to go ahead and preach, Reverend. Okay. You're preaching already. But, you know, people don't see. They want to hold everything that they have, and they don't want to release it back to God. But it's true that once you release what God has blessed you with, then God will bless you with even more. And many times when we make sacrifices in terms of trying to help people, God turns right around and he blesses us almost with the exact amount and even more what we have tried to be a blessing even to somebody else with.
Even more, yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing I see in this passage of Scripture, we talked about the sacrifices in verse 5, mm-hmm. but it turns around in verse 6 and talks about how the priest, you know, waited on their offices, that everybody did what they were supposed to
That's
do.
That's right. That's right.
You know, the musicians were there doing what they were supposed to do. The doorkeepers were there doing what they were supposed to do. You know, and as a result, Solomon was able to do what his father David had put in order, set in order to do. And that was to give God praise.
That's right. That's right.
And so once we get there, get into the house of the Lord, after we bring the Spirit of God with us, we're free to give God praise.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And it's good to see Dr. Crystal on tonight. And
Amen.
We praise God for her presence as well. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. And we're just going back through. Lady Kim has already read for us first 11 verses. And we're talking about this whole process of what happened when the glory of the Lord filled the house and how fire came down and how the people's response was of such that they gave and they gave over and above. They were not, they were willing to give of the substance of what God had blessed them with. Mm-hmm. And the leaders took the example. Solomon, he stood out and took the example. The leaders followed his lead, and how many times we as leaders have to make sure that we lead. That's why it's called leaders, that we take the initiative, mm-hmm. that we set the tone, we set the tenor, we go first. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the ones who others are watching and who others are following.
Amen.
The leaders should be the ones who take the lead.
Amen, amen. So everybody, all the leaders knew their place.
That's right.
All the leaders did what they were supposed to do so the assembly could follow along.
Okay.
And the other thing that I saw was that those feasts that you talk about, all the celebration was surrounding all of the feasts
mm-hmm.
that took place. And so when Solomon had finished the house and, you know, and his house,
because
it said not only did he build God's house, but he built himself a magnificent house, he prospered.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, everything was fulfilled that his father, King David, had set in motion.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's pick it up at verse number, maybe start back with 11 and then continue on through. There are only 22 verses there. For those of you just joining us, we're in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. Lady Kim has already read the first 11 verses. And we get into that place now, Lady Kim, where it talks about those very familiar verses that most of us are aware of. But let's pick it up at verse number 11 and then begin to, you can go ahead. You want to read all the way through 22?
That's fine.
Okay.
All right. And then, you know, it's going to get into the part where God's second appearance to Solomon.
Okay.
And so I'm starting with the 11th verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make the house of the Lord and in his own house. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayers made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom, as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail and have a man as a ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I gave them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make a proverb and a byword among all peoples.
Wow.
And as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them.
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
And I think what we many times miss in those verses is what happens after 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Mm. Many times we stop there.
Yes.
And we never get into what else takes place.
What else will happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this is a powerful passage, because the Lord appeared to Solomon, as you said, for a second time,
mm-hmm.
reassured him, and he gave him some good news and some bad news,
right.
If you could look at it like that. And he made an appeal to him so that he would make sure that the people understood how important it was for his presence to remain, and how important it was for them to be obedient to what he had commanded for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And many times I think we lose sight of that, and we get thrown off track, because once we get blessed, we figure that we can go back to doing whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose sight of the fact that God wants a continued obedience and not just a partial obedience.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, we get stuck around, you know, verse number 14, if my people, which are called by my name,
mm-hmm.
Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We stop right there.
Right.
Settle right there,
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, if this is what we do,
mm-hmm.
then God will continue to bless us. He's
okay.
going to heal the land. He's going to forgive our sins. We sit right there. But it goes on to talk about that if that doesn't happen,
right,
you know,
right.
if you go after idol gods, and if you continue, you fall back into this pattern of behavior,
disobedience. Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, it's going to be destroyed, and people are going to say, what happened?
What happened? They're going to see what God did, and they're going to see what he did. Right?
Uh-huh. And they're going to say, well, what happened was.
Yeah, I know, right?
Hey,
didn't follow the rules. Didn't do what was required of them. Right.
We didn't follow directions.
Right.
So it's all here in God's word. He never leaves anything to question.
That's right.
His promises, like you always say, his promises are sure,
mm-hmm.
and his satisfaction is guaranteed if we follow the word of God. If we do not follow the word of God, then there are consequences.
There are consequences. And so I think that's key for us to understand, that God wants us to be consistent. He wants us to continue to be obedient, and he doesn't want us to just let up because we have seen breakthrough or we have seen things happen in our lives. And we get to a place where we feel that now that God has blessed us, we can take it from here.
Mm-hmm.
We can handle it from here. God, thank you for what you did, but let me get back to what I used to do and the way I used to be, and I can take it on in.
Yeah.
That's not what God wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
And a lot of people say, you know, well, the house is sanctified now to be sanctified and set apart for God forever.
Mm-hmm.
But not so, because okay. people change. Time goes on and people change. So if people are not taught
okay.
the way in which they should go, then, you know, they can stray and lose sight of what it is that God had done in the first place.
Okay.
You know, people, that's just like, for instance, our foreparents worked really hard for what they got.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use homes, for example.
Okay.
Our parents work hard for their homes.
Right.
And then they get passed down to the children.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the children, their children live in the house, you know, and going. Now it falls to the grandchildren. Well, the grandchildren have no appreciation for how hard the grandparents worked to get that property. So it falls in disarray. It falls into the tax. You know, they don't pay the taxes on it. So it goes, you know, back to, you know, it's sold off in real estate. And they don't realize the blood, sweat, and tears. They don't remember the work that went into it. And I'm saying that to say this, that the same thing can happen in the church.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, the Spirit of the Lord that built the foundation in which that institution was built upon.
Mm-hmm.
Now generations have gone by and nobody taught them the importance.
That's good.
Of what they have
mm-hmm.
and how to maintain that. And so we have to maintain what God has given us in order to move forward.
Okay, so that it could be perpetual, even in the lives of those who are yet coming behind us.
Absolutely.
So we have to leave a roadmap, and we have to leave a legacy for people coming behind us, and they have to be taught, and we have to instruct them in the way in which God would have them to go.
Amen.
If not, they'll lose sight of it, and before they know it, they will have lost everything that those who went before them had worked hard to achieve.
Right. And it's not hard to lose
mm-hmm.
what people worked hard for to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to keep that focus. So the Spirit of the Lord is the main focus in the house of the Lord.
Okay.
You know, maintaining His Spirit so we don't get distracted with things of this world and off track. Because it states it here that if they forget, if they stray away,
mm-hmm.
if they go after idol gods, if they go after everything, other things, God is going to destroy what they have.
That's right. That's right. And so verse number 16, do you mm-hmm. have that? What does it yes. say on verse number 16?
For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually.
Okay, and so that's another prayer that we are to make sure that we reinforce in terms of allowing God's heart and His presence and His place, it be in the place of worship, and that we reinforce that with our obedience to what He requires.
Amen. And mm-hmm. I like that word perpetual.
Mm-hmm.
That means ongoing.
That's right.
You know, it keeps going and going and going.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of comments there.
Brother Al says, we have to respect and honor the cornerstone. That's right.
That's good.
That's cornerstone.
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, our time is getting away from us as we have, you've shared the last few verses of that seventh chapter. Anything really eye-catching there, Lady Kim, that you want to zero in on or give us some handles, if you will, to hold on to from what you have seen in terms of what's happening in this seventh chapter?
Yeah, I think one of the things that nuggets that we can take away is that we should never forsake God. We should always pray, you know, humbly watching for God to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is always at work in our midst. And so we have to look for God's hand as we win the day. Amen.
Okay.
And
okay.
Solomon's prayer brought fire from heaven, mm-hmm. you know. And so, you know, when fire came from heaven. The Israelites worshiped, and the Lord said to Solomon, if you walk in my ways, I will establish your throne. So if we walk in God's ways, he will establish our ways in the way that we should go.
Okay, okay. And the same truth that he spoke in terms of what the children of Israel could expect, the same is true for us. So we have to abide by his word and allow his word to be alive in our spirits. What is Brother Martez saying there?
I was trying to get the essence of what he was saying. He said, the less and further away people are born from those harder days our ancestors had. And when people don't have to work for anything, most people really tend to not value things work hard for.
Okay. All right. Well.
Or didn't sweat and bleed or work hard for. That's right. You know, we get removed from that hard work, you know, because it was just given to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here tonight. Look like we're having some difficulties with our feed, and we appreciate y'all bearing with us tonight. But we have been studying and talking from this seventh chapter of Second Chronicles, and we've completed that. It looked like we had a couple of, we fell off there and people came back on. But we hope that you were able to get the essence of this study tonight.
If they stray away, if you they see go after
them. Yours coming in pretty clear?
It is, but like you said, we lost fell off. Couple, we lost contact for a minute.
Right,
people
right.
are coming back on.
Okay. And so we appreciate your patience in working with us through the process. But we have covered this seventh chapter of Second Chronicles, and next week we'll be in the eighth chapter. But we do want to entertain any requests that any of you have as we prepare to close out tonight. And we definitely want to continue to pray around whatever issues or circumstances you might be faced with, even as we close out for tonight.
Amen.
Look like we lost
it. We lost the feed.
Yeah.
So.
Is it on your phone?
Nope. It says the live video has ended.
Okay.
Well, let's just pray and end for tonight.
All right.
Precious Jesus, we thank you for your word on tonight. We know, O God, that your word is like seed and fertile soil to our souls. So we thank you, O God, that seeds have been planted so that they might take root and a great crop shall grow from it. God, we lift up those who are in need tonight. We pray a special blessing on Brother Martez, oh God. Continue to heal his body. Heal Sister Janice Wilson's body tonight, God. Thank you for covering and blessing and keeping the Andrew Lawson and his family as they grieve the loss of a loved one. And God, we ask that you would continue to allow us to go forth in your word. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to strengthen us and keep us, God. We ask special blessings upon the Harper family as they lay their loved one to rest on tomorrow, God. We ask that you would comfort hearts tomorrow, God, and that you would give the family the strength that they need in order to go forward. We know, oh God, that death is a part of life, but God, we also know that there is an afterlife. And so we thank you that you prepare us now for what is to come in the future.
God. Yes, God.
We thank you. We bless you. We ask for traveling mercies for family members and friends, oh God. And we ask that you would continue, oh God, to look over our pastor and anointed temple of praise and all that we endeavor to do. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God. Well, all right. We hope that you have a fantastic rest of the evening and know that we're yet praying and continuing to call upon the name of the Lord so that whatever you are believing God for, we want to touch and agree and believe with you for what you're believing God to do in your situation.
Amen. Amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining.
Be blessed.